Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Dearborn, Michigan, and began working at his family's restaurant at age 8 as a dishwasher. In 1964, his mom and dad, Antonio Sr. and Enrica, a.k.a. Mama Rita, founded Roman Village Cucina Italiano in Dearborn, Michigan. Since 2008, he's been the president and CEO of the 4 Antonio Cucini Italiano restaurants in Roman Village and is the founder of the Ruggiero Promise Foundation and its signature fundraising event, the Ruggiero Casino Royale. His name? Anthony Ruggiero Jr. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Anthony Ruggiero Jr. Anthony, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Jack. I appreciate the invitation. It's very kind of you.
Let's start by talking about Antonio Ruggiero Sr.
My father, great man. He's missed. He's someone that has been a big instrumental part in the Ruggiero family. Just a great person who had a vision. Came from Italy, came to this country in search of the American dream, and he did just that.
Enrica Santioni, 1963, came to America at age 19 with her 3 brothers.
Yes. Yes.
Talk about Enrica.
Enrica. Mom is quite the woman. You know, at 82, she still has so much energy and wants to do so much. I can only imagine how it was when she left Italy at that young age to come to America, how much energy she had. And she was in search of that American dream, too. And her brothers and everybody came in and together and... The story is written itself. I mean, she's done some remarkable things besides raising 4 beautiful boys and being a great mom and a leader in the restaurant business. I can't say enough things about my mom. She's the best.
Affectionately known as Mama Rita.
That's correct. Everybody at the restaurant calls her Mama Rita.
So, and does whatever she tells them to do.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right. 1964, Mom and Dad... open a little restaurant, please.
It's a story that that you hear. Dad had an opportunity that was presented to him at a conversation at the table in the restaurant where the current owners were looking to get out of the business and things weren't going well. And Dad, of course, being here for a short time in this country, was looking for something to do, and he snapped up the opportunity. The great story is that he made the deal with Joe Oliverio with a handshake, a placemat, and a signature that was just put on the placemat with a short description of a purchase. It's unbelievable. The actual purchase agreement that was written on the placemat is hanging on the wall at the restaurant. That's things that, something that you just don't hear happens today. That's how he purchased the restaurant. And it was a lot of work from there on. And the stories that we were told growing up, from the first day at the restaurant, they're great stories. It's great Italian stories.
Why the name Roman Village?
Well, it was called Joe's Pizzeria when he took it over. And we have a friend of the family that we've known for years. I should say my mother's father... Nonno Attilio, and Mr. Frank Stella's father come from the same hometown in Italy, and they would travel to the United States, and they worked in the coal mines together. And the relationship goes back to those days, and Frank Stella, who has F.D. Stella Product Company, I should say, who had F.D. Stella Product Company at the time, being the longtime friend of my mother. When my father and my mother took over the business, Joe's, they were looking to get some new equipment to make some improvements. And, of course, Frank Stella was there. So he stepped up. He provided the necessary things to take the restaurant to the next level. And at the time, they were discussing, you know, maybe you should change the name. So it was Frank Stella who actually came up with the name Roman Village. Hmm. And it stuck. It sounded very Italian. My dad liked it, so they went with Roman Village.
We're doing this show in the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building. And on the first floor are a couple of shops owned by one of Frank Stella's daughters.
Oh, I never knew that.
Okay. You're 8 years old. Your dad hires you, pays you a penny a box. Your first job.
Well, I don't know about if he hired us or we were forced to go to work. At that age, you know, they didn't have babysitters. Well, I should say they had babysitters, but they didn't have the facilities where you would drop your kids off while you went to work. Mom and dad would go to work at the restaurant because they needed to be there. They put long hours in, and they brought the kids with them. So my brothers and I spent a lot of time at the restaurant growing up. That was our playground. And by age eight, Dad felt that we were old enough to start doing some things and working and earning a paycheck. So he would pay us to do pizza boxes. It was only a penny a box, but we made a lot of boxes, my brothers and I. And then we did things like help out in the kitchen, whether it's washing dishes or clean up around the place. And so it was just it's just what you had to do when you were growing up back then.
We're talking to Anthony Ruggiero. 61 years later, every time you sell a pizza, you make a penny now today.
Right. And things have changed.
And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Anthony Ruggiero, who began working at his family's restaurant at age eight, putting boxes together and washing dishes. Okay, Anthony, what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Wow. That's a tough question, Jack. There's so much that you learn from your parents growing up, whether it's in the realm of working together, whether it's at home, we are blessed. We've got some great parents. My mom and dad taught us that a good marriage starts with a good partnership, and they had a good partnership. They worked together, whether it was raising the kids, running the business, whatever needed to be done. They had a great partnership, and it carried over to us, I think. I think that my brothers and I loved the fact that we grew up in a family that was in the restaurant business. There's a lot of times that, of course, there was difficult times, a lot of time at work, and not too much time out celebrating or at the park with your friends, because you always had to come home from school and go to work. But in the long run, it taught us a lot of great things about your work ethics, to respect what you have to work for it, and it gives you a different understanding and a perspective in life. You don't take things for granted. I could see that my mother and father worked very hard. They had nothing when they started the business, and they've built a great thing. And so you cannot forget or not appreciate the effort and the work that goes into that as a child growing up, and you see the whole realm of what's happening in the business, what happens at home, how it carries through your life. It makes a huge impact, and it makes you really understand how important things are, and that you, as one of the kids that are growing up in this business, you're going to have an opportunity one day that's going to be your responsibility, that you're going to have to take this over. It gives you a sense of purpose. And I think that's a great thing that we've learned from our parents and how important it is. You know, today, it's a difficult task. You don't see a lot of the second generations mm-hmm. that can step into a role and take over a business that was created by the family. And unfortunately, that's sad because those businesses either sell or close. So when we have the opportunity that we had, we capitalized on it. We took it to another level because we learned growing up with our parents, how important it was and what you have. And just because you worked hard today, that doesn't mean you can not work as hard or look at what's happening tomorrow. You have to follow through. And I think they instilled that into us. So me and my brothers, we work hard every day. We don't take anything for granted. Our businesses are important to us. The customers that walk in our door are important to us. How we do things and how our business succeeds is because of the work ethics and the understanding of what we learned from my mother and father.
All right, 61 years later, you've got 5 restaurants. Please.
Well, as the family grows, and, you know, we're smart enough to see that we've got a good thing going, that Roman Village is a great success, but there's opportunities out there. So Frank Stella, of course, being the person that's in the restaurant equipment business, also had a lot of connections with people that had available places for sale or for rent, and the opportunity presented itself. And Antonio's in Dearborn Heights was the first Antonio's that we had an opportunity. And Frank said, boys, I think it's time you need to spread your wings. You got to try another venture here. We're going to do another location. And so we agreed, and we took on that challenge. And thank God, it's been a huge success. And it's since 1992 is the day that we took over the Antonio's of Dearborn Heights. And it's worked out well for us. We came up with the name Antonio's. People ask all the time, why Antonio's? Because of your name? I say, no, it's not because of my name. It's my dad. My dad is Antonio Sr. So we felt it'd be great to pay homage to my father, and we would call it Antonio's Restaurants. And that's how that was developed.
Today there's 4 of them, plus the Roman Village. If you want to learn more, www.antonio'swithanS.com. All right, your family has a motto. Tiriamo avanti. What does that mean? Well, is that a dessert dish or something?
You know, the term tiriamo avanti is an old term that's been around a long time. A lot of the Italians say it in conversation. And what it means is to always move forward. So when there's a conversations that Italians are having, if there's a certain scenario or a situation that they're dealing with, they say, tiriamo avanti, which means to move forward. We dealt with a lot, like many of the restaurant owners during COVID. It was a tough time. And a lot of restaurants were struggling. And so with the work that and the problems that we were going through during COVID, we found ourselves saying tiriamo avanti often. And I felt, wow, how much can you continue to move forward with all the problems that we continue to have during COVID? It was a scary time. As soon as we got through COVID, I contacted a lawyer. And I said that I think we need to patent the word tiriamo avanti. So I did. I called a patenting. We patented the word tiriamo avanti, which means to always move forward. I now put it on our pizza boxes. I put it on other material and advertising and things that we do. And it reminds us of the struggles that we had during COVID, where, quite frankly, we could have lost everything, Jack. It was that bad.
Many restaurants did.
Yes, many people lost their fortunes and all. But we circled the wagons. We worked hard. Boy, the stories that I have regarding COVID would there's one that I don't share too often, but it was a very, very difficult time, Jack, I must tell you. And if you'd like, I can share the
Please.
Story with you. It's a story of faith, because as you know, the Ruggiero family are people of faith. We believe in the Lord God, and everything that we are doing out there in this great world is to always remember there's a higher power. When we were dealing with COVID at the very beginning, you know, 60 years of being in the restaurant business, there's been many times that you've had recessions, depressions, problems. My father would say the stories back in the 1980 when things got very bad and the restaurant almost closed, but they got through it. And I remember just before he passed in 08, he said to me, son, don't worry, you're going to be fine. We're going to do it. Of course, he passed away, and shortly after, everything again went pretty horrible, if everybody remembers, back in 08, 09, and there was some tough times. And we managed to work through it, and we actually thrived. We did well. Very impressed. The family did a great job, the staff that we have. But then you run into COVID, and all of a sudden, you're not dealing with a tough economy. You're dealing where the government shuts you down. They just tell you, you got to close your doors. And I'll never forget it. It was just a very difficult time. And of course, I'm going to be honest, I was afraid. I thought to myself, you know, we had just moved. My mother and I and my brothers, we all live on the same street in Dearborn Heights. We bought houses next door to each other. Real Italian stuff, right? We all live next door to each other. And Mom's house was the main home that we would just walk next door, and we hung out and things of this nature, and it was great. So we purchased some property out in Plymouth. We moved the home. I built a new house for my mother. I built a new house for my family. And of course, having a new house, you have a new mortgage. And we moved in October of 2019, and not only a few months later, in March of 2020, COVID hits and they shut the restaurant. So I was devastated and I was worried. And I remember coming home and I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I don't know what else I can say. I've put Mom in a position where she has a new mortgage. I've got a mortgage. We went from having no mortgage to all this debt, and now they shut us down. What's going to happen? I was worried. I tell you, I went to bed that night. I got up the next morning, Jack. I went into my garage to grab a beverage. And when I went in the garage, it's closed. I have a refrigerator that's sitting in there. And I look up, and there's a white dove sitting on top of the refrigerator. Hmm. And I didn't know what to do. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking around thinking, what in God's earth is going on? I step back slowly, and I push the garage door button to open the door, thinking that maybe it somehow got trapped in the garage, so let it go. It flew over to my car and landed on the car. And it's just looking at me, and I'm looking at this thing. And I got to tell you, I can feel my father's presence. I can feel Frank Stella's presence. I can feel the fact that there was something that was there that was a higher power. Now, I'm sharing this with you, Jack, and of course, a lot of your listeners. It's a story that I don't tell often because, you know, people, I don't want them to look at me and think that, yeah, he's seeing birds. But it was a white dove, and I believe it was there because it was there to help support me and understand. You know, I gave 110% of my attention to what we needed to do and to come up with a game plan to how we're going to change things that was happening at the restaurant with COVID and how they shut us down. And we circled the wagons. My brothers and I got together and we talked. And they said, Aunt, whatever you say, whatever you think we need to do, we're on board 100%. You see, that's so important when you have a team that's willing to work together. Every staff person said, we'll do whatever we need to do. They all showed up to work. Nobody stayed home. They changed their positions, whether they were bartending or serving. And all of a sudden, we put a new system in play outside for carryout. And we rocked it. We put a new system. We had people lined up. They were coming in. They would call. They were put into carports with numbers. And all of a sudden, within a matter of a short time, business was booming with carryout. And you could just feel the grace of God.
And 5+ years later, you're stronger than ever.
Right.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Anthony Ruggiero Jr. One day, you hired a young lady named Sabrina. And God had different plans.
Yes, he did. He did. You know, you're at work. You're putting a lot of time and energy in what you have going on. And you're right. Enters this this beautiful young woman. She's looking for work. She was hired. Of course, she was Italian. So she came to work for us. And I could see her working in the hostess station from across the room. And I said to myself, that's going to be my wife. I recognized it right away that this person was something special. And I wasn't wrong. And years later, after we dated and we were engaged, and we got married.
And now you work for her. Speaking of working, Mom comes to work every day. She works 40, 50 hours a week. She makes, friends, she makes the best chicken soup I've ever had in my life. You don't have to go to Frankenmuthenzenders. Just come to, okay, Antonio's or Roman Village. Best chicken soup in the world.
Yeah.
Talk about Mom every day.
Well, Mom, you know, the chicken soup, I must say, is so great because we keep it old school. We still use soup pens. We don't use boiling cubes. It's slow cooked. It takes 3 hours to make a batch of soup. We go through nearly 40 gallons of soup at each location every other day. And in the during the Christmas season, when it's cold, even more. But the soup, it's terrific. And that's Mom's recipe. She loves to be there at the restaurant. She loves to interact with people. I think she gets more of a kick out of today, people coming in asking for her, and they want to take a picture or they want to ask the questions of how does it feel being in business for over 60 years. And, you know, they want to hear the stories. And she's a great storyteller. She loves to talk to people, and they love seeing her.
Okay. In a previous segment, I said, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom and Dad? We left one out. Giving back. And boy, you guys have embraced that like crazy. Let's talk about, okay, the family and philanthropy, please.
Well, you know, Mom and Dad has taught us a lot, as I said, and that is one of the things that they respected, you know, coming from not having anything and working hard to earn everything they've got. They've had many friends in the lifetime who have been there to support them and to give them a leg up, you know. They're very proud people. They wanted to work and earn everything that they have and that they made. But they also seen that they're good fortune and that things go well for them, that they have to always make sure that they share and give back to the community that comes in to eat every day at the restaurant, people that support us. And so they instilled that into us. So that's what drives us in the work that we're doing. Of course, the big thing was after my father passed away, he was a patient at the U of M, University of Michigan, and he was dealing with diabetes for over 40 years. And when he had passed away, we felt that we wanted to remember my father, what he did, what he stood for, the work that he did, the generosity, and what can we do to honor him. And so when we sat down with my brothers and I, we're thinking, what should we do? Should we do a golf outing like everybody else does? And says, well, Dad didn't golf. Dad worked. He loved to go to Vegas to the food shows, and we'd love to go have time together as a family, as the brothers. That was our business trip that we would take every year, and he enjoyed Vegas. So we said, well, why don't we do something that relates around Vegas theme? And that's how we came up with Casino Royale. And so although there's really no gambling for money at this event, it's an event, it's an experience, it's a great event of gathering people together and having fun and remembering my father. And playing cards is just one of the great events that are taking place at this Casino Royale. And so when we started this, it was its first year anniversary of my father's death. And like most Catholics, they'll have a celebration on a 1 year of his passing, and people come together. And so we've had a lot of family and friends. And the next thing you know, we had over 100 people that were together at the Italian American Club honoring my father for the 1 year of his passing. And we said, wow, we should do something with this. Look at all these people here. So that's when we decided to do the Casino Royale and make it a yearly event. And then the next step was, wow, how do we get everybody out there to contribute and support the event and be a part of it? And we felt that what was most important that we needed to do, foundation, a 501c3 foundation, so that people can make contributions and receive a tax write-off for that contribution. So I worked with the powers that be, brought the attorneys on board, and I formed the Ruggiero Promise Foundation, and it's been working very well ever since.
And on November 1st,
that's correct,
going to have our 15th annual Casino Royale at St. John's Resort in Plymouth, which is beautiful.
Absolutely.
All right. You didn't mention, we also have everything on the menu.
Right.
Okay. The food is fantastic. And it's for the Antonio Ruggiero Diabetes Research U of M. If you want to learn more, www.rugieropromise.org. RUGIEROPROMISE.org. So, just a couple weeks.
Right. It's coming fast.
Any tickets left?
Well, we're just about sold out. This is probably going to be our largest event to date. We're anticipating 1,000 people in attendance for this glorious event. And as you said, there's going to be great food, great entertainment. We're going to have the casino night gambling. We do a silent auction. We have a live auction. Not a lot of things on the live auction. We try to keep it short so we can focus on just having fun. It is definitely something different than your typical sit-down dinner fundraiser. It's just a lot of fun, and it's been growing over the years. And we're hoping, our goal is that we raise $1 million on November 1st, on that evening, by all the generosity of the people that are there and all our supporters and sponsors. And, then, you know, I got to tell you, this is our 15th year. We have just about 99% of the people that are sponsoring our event have been sponsoring it from the beginning. They came on board as sponsors, and every year they're there for us. Every year they're sponsoring the event and helping us continue to grow. So it's been wonderful.
www.rugieropromise.org. All right. You hope to raise $1 million for diabetes research. 400 million people are living with diabetes today, type 1 and type 2. Talk about diabetes research.
Well, I'm impressed with the University of Michigan, the doctors, the staff, the scientists, the people that are working there. As you know, the University of Michigan is probably one of our greatest medical assets here in Michigan. They're doing a great job. So I am very confident and happy that we've teamed up and that we're working with them. The research that they're doing, you're absolutely right, Jack. There are so many people in the world today that are suffering from type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and what it contributes to the other problems of life, whether it's kidney disease, heart disease, problems with your limbs. I mean, it goes on and on. It's just a horrible disease. But I am so impressed to see that the work they're doing, the strides that they've made. In fact, at the event this year, we have put together a timeline on boards that'll be out there from the first year that we got on board to where they are today and how much work they've done, how far they've come with treatment, with a cure, the work that they're doing. It's all going to be on a timeline. It's just very impressive to see what's happening. So I'm very happy to be a part of that. We made this partnership. U of M doesn't do a lot of partnerships when they work with, they're always there and happy to accept contributions, don't get me wrong. But a partnership is another level. And so we've partnered with them with the idea that the Ruggiero Promise Foundation would be known in the community as the name that's working with the University of Michigan to find a cure for diabetes. And that's what we've been working on.
November 1st, St. John's Resort, Plymouth, Michigan, the 15th annual Casino Royale. When we come back, we're going to ask Anthony about a family friend by the name of Andrea Bocelli. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love, stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life, and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Anthony Ruggiero, the founder of the Ruggiero Promise Foundation and its signature fundraising event, the Ruggiero Casino Royale. Okay, friends with this guy by the name of Andrea Bocelli.
Andrea, a great man, a person with great talent, obviously, as everybody knows. Our friendship goes back over 20 years. I met Andrea over at an event that we did together for the National Italian American Foundation, NIAF. And that's how far back the relationship goes. And I've had the opportunity to work with him over the last few years on several events that he hosts back home in Tuscany at his own home, where I support the work that he's doing. And he's kind enough to reciprocate and help support the work that we do through the Ruggiero Promise Foundation. So it's been a great relationship, but I got to tell you a little quick story. 10 years ago, when he was here in Detroit, he was stationed here for approximately 10 days. And while he was here in Detroit, we spent time together because we developed a friendship, and we would have him over at the restaurant for dinner. He came in for a place to eat. He was looking for a great Italian restaurant, something that was authentic Italian. So he would come visit us, and he'd tell the stories about how his favorite dish is spaghetti carbonara, and he makes a great spaghetti carbonara. And I'm thinking, okay, he can make a spaghetti carbonara? I'd like to see that. So he asked me to get the ingredients, specifically the guanciale and the cheese that he would need to prepare this dish. And he was going to come out and make it. And sure enough, it happened. He showed up, came to the restaurant with the family at the time. The kids were small. We're all together. And he prepared spaghetti carbonara in the restaurant, in the kitchen. And we opened a bottle of wine. We broke bread. We had a great meal. It was fantastic. And I took the opportunity and I says, Andrea, do you mind if I put this on the menu and we can call it spaghetti carbonara alla Bocelli? He said, absolutely, Antonio. You go ahead. And so we did, and now if you go to any of the Antonio's or Roman Village restaurants, you'll see spaghetti carbonara alla Bocelli on the menu. It's a great recipe. It's an authentic recipe. Doesn't have any cream in it because you don't put cream in a real carbonara. They say in Italy every time somebody puts cream in a carbonara, a chef dies. So you don't put no cream, and there's no peas. A true carbonara has the guanciale, which is a pancetta, a form of bacon, and an egg yolk, and good Parmesan cheese. It's a simple dish, prepared, it's phenomenal. And we've had that on the menu, and it's been a great hit. And Andrea and I communicate, as I started to say, as friends, and we work together in these different types of charity work that he does for his foundation and what we do. And we've, in the past, purchased lump sum tickets that we've sold, tickets to the show, and guess what? We've had a spaghetti carbonara dinner that would accompany the tickets before the show. So it was a great package deal, and it worked out well. It worked out so well. Can I tell you the story about my three friends?
Absolutely.
My three friends, Il Volo. These young men.
Il Volo.
Il Volo. These three young men, we met when they were 16 years old, 15 and 16 years old. And they had performed in Italy
at a show very similar to what we have here in America called America's Got Talent. It's called the Sanremo Festival. And it's a big festival that new people come on board and they sing. And of course, that time they won and they made headlines. So I'll make it a short story. So back in the day when they were at that age, this would be maybe 12 years ago, 15 years ago. It was at the time that I'd been working with Frank Stella, my mentor, and we were working on some work that we needed to do for three different charity groups that were involved. It was Sons of Italy, Boys and Girls Town of Italy, and Ilica. I needed to do something big. I needed to have an event that would bring enough money in to cover the different events that we were doing. And one morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I said, you know what? Il Volo. I'm going to bring them here to America. Introduce them to the world. These guys are going to be great. So I get up and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know who to call, what I'm supposed to do here. It's come to me. So as soon as morning rolls around about 8 a.m., I head off to the Detroit Opera House, which I'm a member of the Detroit Opera. I'm on the board there. And I go in there and I go to see Dr. DeCara. And I said, Dr. DeCara, I got a great idea. This is going to be phenomenal. These boys are going to come into town and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And he looked at me and he says, Antonio, who are these people? What's their name? And he says, that's a little difficult to bring someone in who doesn't really have much notoriety. How are we going to do that? And I said to him, I'll tell you what. They come in. I'll take all the cost and the risk. They do well. We're all happy. And so that's what happened. That was the first time that Il Volo came to the United States. They performed at the Opera House, and it's been a great hit ever since. They've grown. They signed with Sony. They're doing phenomenal. They're touring everywhere. They're dear friends of mine. I really value our relationship between Il Volo and these young men, Piero, Ignazio, and Gianluca.
Frank Stella, your mentor, brought the three tenors.
Yes.
And you brought Il Volo.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Absolutely. Believe.